Blog Talk Radio.
Only one mother, and she gives herself freely. So give thanks to her. Give thanks to her. And when you have completed your visit with our mother, leave no trace. Leave no trace.
Here with a rundown of GGM Radio's brand new schedule. Boy, have we got some wonderful new programs with great new hosts. A little something for everyone. On Mondays at 11 a.m. Central, it's Messages of Light with Amanda Dowell for an hour of psychic chat and inspirational guests. Mondays at 7 p.m. Central, it's time for Primarily Paranormal with Psychic Tina Marie. Share an hour with Tina and Bob Weber of Gulf Coast Paranormal. On the second and fourth Tuesday of every month at 8 p.m. Central, it's the Back to Brilliance Hour with Lynn Hoft and Vivian Hildebrand, an hour devoted to your spiritual growth. Wednesdays start at 11 a.m. Central with Maggie Holbeck and Crystal Clear Coaching, featuring motivational inspiration to get your life back on track. At 1 p.m. Central, join Claudia Cleary on Wednesdays with Namaste Nutrition for an hour of soothing chat all about good health, positivity, and spiritual balance. Thursdays, start your day at 9 a.m. Central with Nancy Murdoch and Mastering the Art of Joyfulness. Let Nancy and her special guests lift you out of that rut and get you back in your groove. At 8 p.m. Central, join Dr. Gregory Scott for the Light Giver Universal Healer Hour. Gregory offers spiritual education to further you along your path to enlightenment and empowerment. Fridays at 12 noon Central, it's Alive to Thrive with Brenda Fraser. Join Brenda for an hour of inspiration and motivation, featuring a lineup of today's most popular authors and guests. Friday night at 7 p.m. Central, enjoy an hour of psychic chat with spot-on reader Tasha Harris and the Angels Network. Saturdays begin at noon Central with Bea Delosier, yours truly, and the Metaphysical Edge for psychic chat and interesting guests ranging from UFO research paranormal experiencers, and all things metaphysical. At 2 p.m. Central on Saturday, it's Audrey Quinn and My Beauty Angel, an hour created just for you with tips and tricks on how to be the best you can be with what God has given you. Sunday is a day of service here on Greater Good Ministries Radio, each week featuring a different interfaith minister, bringing joy, upliftment, and unfoldment for body, mind, and spirit. The first Sunday of the month is Conversations Beyond the Edge with Dr. Gregory Scott. The second Sunday of the month is the Empowerment Hour with Reverend Barbara B. Delosier. Third Sunday of the month is the Light Givers International Sunday Service and Worldwide Source a Nation Celebration. The fourth Sunday of the month is In His Presence with Evangelist Patricia Benneman. Hope you will join us live for all of our Greater Good Ministries radio programs, but if you can't be with us in person, you can hear any of our programs on demand in archives at www.blogtalkradio.com/ggmradio. And remember, all of our programs now stream live from our home site, www.ggmradio.com. Wishing everyone warmest blessings, always in love, light, and sound. Music provided by Arvel Bird, musician extraordinaire. Visit him at arvelbird.com and get a hold of all of Arvel's wonderful music.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Messages of Light. I am your host, Amanda Dowell, today. Today we have Thomas Johnson. He is located in Ohio, and he is familiar with Serpent Mounds, which is very interesting. It's a one-acre patch of land, it sounds like, with something to do with an impact of a crater, and he's just a fascinating guy. He has done so much work with rocks, and he has so much knowledge with Native American issues and photographing and history and geology, and I could go on and on and on. He's just so interesting and exciting. I met him at the Star Knowledge Conference briefly in 2011, so I am just so excited to have him here with me today. And you can check out his website at thingswithravens.com. It looks like there's two 11s in front of that. So 1111, thingswithravens.com. Anyway, with that being said, I'm going to actually bring him live and let him tell you a little bit more about himself as well, Thomas Johnson. And our call-in number is 347-237-5339. If you have questions, just hit 1, and we will definitely take your call later. But first, I want to have Thomas talk a little bit about himself. Welcome to the show, Thomas.
Thank you, Amanda. I'm speaking to you from southern Ohio, about 3 miles from Serpent Mound. And we have a
nice
rock shop there. And nice day, about 75 degrees. Sitting outside my big house and wanting to talk to people about the crater and Serpent Mound.
That's great. That's great. I've heard a lot about Serpent Mound, but I've never actually gotten to experience it yet. But I know I got to meet you and Terry back in 2011 just for a little bit, and it was just nice seeing the two of you there. So you can tell, maybe you could tell our listening audience a little bit about yourself further.
Sure. Originally, I'm from Michigan. I grew up in Detroit, and I spent my weekends in Canada at a small cottage, and that's where I learned about rocks and the earth. And at the age of 4, I started collecting along the beaches of Lake Erie, picking up all kinds of little pebbles and fossils and things, and I actually discovered my first human skeleton when I was 4 years old on the beach. And
oh, wow.
Was, That was my first introduction into spirituality. It was a graveyard at the top of a glacial moraine, and the bones had been eroding out of the embankment and rolling down into Lake Erie for years. And I discovered this skull on the beach, and I thought to myself, well, this is human. And I took it to my mom, and they said, where did you get that? So we started looking at this embankment, which was about 100 feet high, and there was bones all over it. There was vertebrae and rib bones and leg bones, femurs. And so we started collecting them, and for 5 years I collected 18 skeletons, and I numbered them and learned all about anatomy. And I got into archaeology and anthropology just through people that I had met through church and in school. And when I was 10 years old, the Ontario Provincial Police showed up and took all my bones away. And they thought maybe it was a mass murder site. So we wondered what happened to them. And about a month later, they came back with all the bones and gave them back to us. And with a certificate from the University of Windsor stating that they were glacial came Indians, and they were about 1,100 years old. And so at that time, there was no laws about grave robbing or a removal of human ancient bones as such. So we brought them back into the States. And eventually I moved to Ohio in 1978 and brought all these bones with me. And in 1990, the Indian Rights Burial Movement, or Repatriation Act, came along. And I went ahead and buried them in the ground. I put them all in their boxes, all their numbers and labels, and dug a big pit and did a little ceremony and put them in the ground here in Ohio. And it was at that time that I realized that there was something attached to those bones. And by that I mean I had had nightmares all these years that I had had those bones of hands trying to grab me from underneath the ground, reaching out of the ground. And as soon as the bones went back in the ground, all those nightmares stopped. And I thought, wow.
That was pretty exciting.
That was my lesson in spirits. And it made me realize that, you know, what goes in the ground should stay in the ground.
Absolutely. Well, you know, you learn a lot from that. It sounds like you've really been doing some work with this. So do you have people come out and see? You said you have a rock shop there at Serpent Mound. Do people come out and see that? I know you have gatherings there.
Well, we have gatherings in that. Yeah, because of Serpent Mound being just down the road, we have, you know, people from, you could cover all the ologies, if you will, the anthropology, archaeology, paleontology, biology. They all come through, and of course, a lot of Native Americans come through, and spirits, not spirits so much, but the light workers and healers, and just a whole different, just a lot of different people come through here just to see Serpent Mound. And they stop at the shop, of course, and we get to talk and learn an awful lot from the people that are traveling through to visit these sacred sites that are out this way.
That's wonderful. So they come there and they just feel the land and tell you what's there, or do they just show up to events? That's very interesting.
Well, we do have events, at least. Once a month, we do a sweat lodge. Of course, Terry Rivera pours lodges. And I guess she was supposed to be on today, and she's at work. So she couldn't work and be on the radio at the same time. So she said, Tom, would you do this? and Terry is my wife, and she got married at Cahokia when you were there on 11-11-11.
Yes.
And so that was a big event for us. And but since then, she's moved out here to by Serpent Mound, and of course we try to build a community here of like-minded people, and have teachings, and we get we get some of the different elders to come in and people with specialties that come in and do workshops. And it draws in quite a few people. And of course, all our teachings are free. And it's just nice mm-hmm. to pass on this information.
That's really exciting. So anything from information to the rock to the history, that's really cool. Now, it looks like you have maybe a book out here or something. You want to tell everybody a little bit about the book you have?
Well, I've done a few books, and it's all on trilobites, which is paleontology. And I've been working on that since I was in third grade collecting fossils. And I became somewhat of a, well, I don't know if you call it a celebrity, but back in 1984, the National Museum in Washington, the Smithsonian, offered to buy a collection that I had of trilobites for an upcoming exhibit. And I said, no, I'm not going to sell it to you. I'm going to loan it to you. So lo and behold, I gave them my collection, and 25 years later, I got it back. And the gallery,
wow.
There was two galleries that it hosted. One of them is here in-house in the shop, and the other is currently parked down in the Houston Museum. So we've done a lot with trilobites, and that's my main topic, really, is as far as working with the earth, is studying the fossils that are embedded in the layers. And it wasn't until I met some of the elders, the Native American elders, that I learned that these fossils are our grandfathers. They're actually alive and just vibrating at a different frequency. So that kind of rounded out my knowledge of the earth. And it all came together just a few years ago, and it's been quite an amazing journey, if you will.
That is pretty amazing. Now, I know some people, they go into, and I think it's really interesting how you're doing a lot of the fossils, because that's actually very important, and I know that you can learn so much just from that alone. I mean, it would just be neat to sit down and talk with you about all the different fossils that you found and what you've done, which we can talk about that in a minute. What I'm wondering is, a lot of people who go into rocks, also in stones, they have different, you know, metaphysical properties and meanings. Do you work with any of those also?
No, we do go out and mine our own quartz crystals and in Arkansas, and then I also mine pipestone here in Ohio, and I carve pipes and different little effigies for people. But mostly I haven't really touched too much on the metaphysical properties of the stones. But I know they do have them, and it's especially quartz, a very powerful stone. But I haven't really specialized in that per se. It's just something that I'm aware of, and I understand there's a lot of people that are interested in it, and they're tuned into it, if you will. Myself, I just like to go out and dig this stuff up and study it.
Well, studying it and looking at it is very important, because, you know, history from that itself, you know, it has its own story, its own intuition, its own everything, and that's pretty exciting. So what kinds of fossils have you found that fascinate you the most? You know, like what are some of the things that you found in your studies that are, you know, that stand out to you?
Well, mostly it's trilobites, because those are the first things on Earth to have eyes. And there's about 25,000 species of them worldwide. And I've had a chance to travel the world and excavate these different specimens on most of the different continents except China. And I find that these fossils actually do, if you're tuned in to their frequency, you can hear them. And it's something that I learned to do back in the 70s. And another friend of mine that grew up with me doing exactly the same thing has the same ability. And it's actually seeing these fossils in the earth before you find them.
Mm-hmm.
And it's I don't know if it's the intuition or just being tuned into that frequency, but you pick up their vibration, And sometimes you can actually see how big they are and which way they're facing and how far down in the rock layers they are. And then you find them and you go, oh my goodness. So I think it's just being so in tune with the earth that that you learn to listen to it. And I think that's, if you call that metaphysical if you want, but it's just something that I think I was born with it. And I was onto it at an early age, introduced to it, and I just stuck with it. And now I do it for a living.
Well, you know, it's good that you're actually doing something that you're passionate about, something that you love. And, you know, it is in a way kind of a gift and an intuition, because what you're doing is, you know, you're using an ability that you have that you learned a long time ago that you've probably had all of your life. So that's based on intuition, and it's fun. You know, it's something that you enjoy doing, and it's very satisfying, which is really great. I find it great that you can tune in and actually listen and find answers from that. Did you learn that just by, you didn't have anybody teach you that, I'm sure. It just came natural, right?
It was just by accident. And I learned about it by doing, accident. I was doing what they call systematic work, where I was actually cataloging and mapping fossils as I was excavating with a group of paleontologists. And one day in 1976, I sat down just before I went to lunch in an Ordovician seabed that was about 435 million years old. And I sat there and I was cataloging these fossils as I was finding them. And for no good reason, I just wrote down one that I hadn't found yet. And I wrote down all the details about it, how it was buried and what position and the depth and the strata. And I went to lunch and I came back from lunch and, not even thinking about it, grabbed a slab of rock and split it open, and there it was. And everybody said, how'd you do that? And I go, I don't know. So I think it was an exercise of the mind and actually participating in something, being out in the field and working with it enough. I've been on that site for, I think, 3 months. And it amazed me. And then I started listening to my thoughts, started looking at them and analyzing them, and realized that, hey, this is a tool that, you know, it's come to me. It's been gifted to me somehow. And so I'm using it, and it's beautiful. It works the same way with people. And it's like you could call it mind reading, or, you know, just having the intuitive ability to know what someone is thinking or have a conversation with them on the right topic and not being wrong about how they feel. And it comes in handy when you're in business and dealing with a lot of people like I do. And it just makes it much easier. And it makes it more enlightening too, because you're learning things about people that you'd never thought were possible.
Right. Well, I think that's very good how you can base that on, you know, just looking at something and been reading something. Now, do you meditate to do that, or does it just come natural? You know, like some people, when they are able to, you know, like you said, you can tune into the ground and then you know where the stone is, or you know when somebody's thinking something. Does that come when you do a meditation, or does that just come on its own?
It just comes from being there. I don't meditate on
it. That's
good. It's just you put yourself in that place, in that environment, and it's just like, it's almost like time travel. And that's the way I look at my job when I'm out in the field working with rocks. It's, you're going back to that moment when that rock was created, and or that life force. And I've also learned, you know, through the years that Kirlian photography, which picks up your aura, it picks up things that are also past. So you can take a fossil and get an aura from it. It's different than our aura, a living aura, but it still has an aura of sorts. And when you
right.
can see that with the naked eye, then you realize that, wow, you know, that does exist.
Yeah, and some people don't believe in it right away until they actually experience it. Now, I know it's different than a human aura, but is there a way to describe that so people can get an idea of what you're talking about with how, you know, we have the human aura and then those things have an aura too?
Well, the human aura is fuzzy, and it emits a constant flow of light, and it's very contoured around the body. It'll be reds and oranges, sometimes orange, pink, and sometimes it even goes into blue. It's more like a rainbow. On the fossils, and almost every fossil that I've seen under Carolean photography, instead of being fuzzy, it's more like fireworks. These little tiny orbs are flashing off of it constantly, just shooting out into space, all different colors.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like a sparkler, you might say. That'd be the best analogy I could come up with. But these things are actually emitting that spark. And I never knew that before I figured out, you know, that these fossils were actually giving off an aura. It was years later that I learned about Carolean photography. And I said, well, I'll be darned. There is something to this. It's not just guessing. It's beyond that. So, and I think it's the same thing with minerals, your crystal specimens. I think some people are more in tune and sensitive to the energies of them. And those are the people that I run into with having the shop. You know, they'll hold their hand over a specimen or they'll put it in their hand and they'll feel it and they say, this one's talking to me. And some people don't even need to touch them. They just need to walk by them and they go, oh, that one right there, that's the one I want. So it's interesting how it works. And it's really not something that you could read about in a textbook. It's not taught. It just happens. And you have to really get out and experience it to understand it.
Sure. I was going to say you probably can't exactly, you know, tell someone, okay, well, read this book and, you know, this is going to teach you how to do that. But you can sort of look at it and experience it. You know, I kind of do the same thing with intuitive ability. You know, like I start interacting with people like very much like you do. And I've had a skeptic, and then I'll say, well, you know, I'm not going to force you to believe that. You know, because a lot of times some of the New Age readers or psychics that you talk to, you know, want to force you or shake you. And it's like, you know, what I finally did one time, I love how you're describing this, is I said, I can't prove it to you, but I can tell it to you, and then I can say, okay, do this, and then you can have your own experience. So I love how you said, well, you know, the minerals look like sparklers, and it's fascinating. I mean, it's actually something I would want to try.
Mm-hmm. I think a lot of that is you go through a blind test, and you take a series of different fossils and minerals and hold them in your hand or get close to them and see what resonates from them and if you pick it up or not. I think a lot of people are skeptical because they're taught not to see that. It's like a life.
Mm-hmm.
It's everything in life that we've witnessed is learned behavior. So just from working with Native Americans, I've learned that, you know, you really have to empty your mind and start over. And be reprogrammed, if you will, to see things that you're taught not to see.
Absolutely. That's really exciting. That you can, you know, get a description and you can have someone test it to see how that works for you. Now, when you go out and you're finding fossils or you're, you know, working on the earth, I mean, I hear a lot of people say that they feel, I mean, they feel the planet because it's actually alive, which is really cool, too. Some people can feel the actual human being. What I'm curious to know, and I'm sure you do, too, but what I'm curious about is, do you feel more level, like you're level-headed when you're working with the minerals?
Some people use the term
grounded.
Okay, sure. I'm always grounded, but I've learned that the best way to ground, and this is just through experience is that rather than trying to raise my vibration, I lower it. And because the earth has a lower frequency than your body, and to get in tune with it, you almost have to slow down. And that's what a lot of people do through meditation, is they slow down and they listen and they become at one with whatever they're with. Usually it's the earth that they're getting grounded. And I just do that naturally because I'm on the earth all the time. I don't work in an office, and I like to be out in nature and feel the energy, whether it's in the air or whether it's in the water or in the soil. Just like, for instance, when a big storm comes through, I like to be outside. I like to feel it. I like to see it. And seems like you pick that up. You're like a transmitter or a receiver, if you will. You pick up that energy and you feel it, and you just get a sense of what is going on. Instead of sitting back and waiting for something to happen, you experience it. It's a lot different. I just tell people, put your boots on the ground and go out and experience it, because, you know, you can read all the books you want and watch TV, and it's the best thing to do is just get out and do it. And we find that at Serpent Mountain, too. People hear things about Serpent Mountain, and the next thing you know, they have to go out there and they have to feel the energy in it. That's another point that I wanted to bring out was the crater that we're sitting on here. And the energy that's emitted from it, that people feel, they drive down the road and they feel it. And they just come to a dead stop in the road and go, what is that? So it resonates at Serpent Mountain as well, because it's built on the edge of this huge crater that's like 5 miles wide. And even though this crater is very old, it's about 300 million years old, it has actually impacted what we call a rift or a fault on the earth. And it's the only place on earth where this has ever happened. So consequently, that rift has been emitting energy for over a billion years. And because the crater is made on top of it, all the fractured rock around that rift has got energy coming up through it, by the way, of what they call magnetic anomalies. So there's, across Serpent Mound, it's a 1,300 and almost a 1,400 foot long serpent in the ground. There's a couple of fault lines that go across it from the crater. And one is right across the head where the mouth meets the turtle or the egg, whatever this object is that the serpent is holding. And you can douse it. I do a lot of dousing. And when you walk across the mouth on either side of this footpath, your rods will cross. And it's a real strong connection. And we've noticed that when we bring elders up there to do ceremony, they'll walk the serpent, they'll walk alongside the little footpath, and when they get to that point at the head where this energy is coming out of the ground, they'll drop their medicine bag and their pipe bag or whatever they're carrying, and that's where they do ceremony. And it's not because someone told them, it's because they can feel it. And it's just interesting to see that with the abilities that elders have. It's just something that they've learned, and it's amazing how they can feel the energies of the earth.
That is very amazing, and the fact that you can take that knowledge, too, and really use that, you know, and utilize that, because you're basing it on, you know, not only the sciences, but also, you know, the feelings and the experiences, which gives everybody your own experience. Now, out there where you're holding workshops and you have all of that, do you hold any workshops also or any classes?
Yes. I do workshops for colleges in the crater. At least once a month I take a group out and we do the geology of the crater. And then maybe twice a year I'll do workshops on carving, how to carve pipestone. And in fact, we got an event coming up on the fall equinox, and that will be on September 22nd here at the shop. and we'll be doing pipestone carving, and I'll take people on tours of the crater, and there's other people that are coming in doing different workshops, Reiki and singing, and there's quite a few things that'll be going on that day. I'd love to do workshops because you're just passing all the knowledge forward. It's great to see people's eyes light up and learn something new.
Very nice. Well, I definitely like what I'm hearing. That's why I asked if you actually teach classes there or, you know, where all you go and teach, because I'm sure the listeners out there are fascinated if you go traveling around or if they can come to Serpent Mound and find you, you know, how to get a hold of you.
Well, they can also find us on the Facebook, of course, the House of Fake Ops, Tom's Alternate Universe. And that's a site with, it's a group. I think there's about almost 1,500 people on there. And what we're trying to do with that is promote the sciences and bring people together in one circle. And what I've seen over the years, I had wished Facebook came along 20 years ago. It's bringing people together. It's all those people that are traveling in different circles. They're all kind of going in the same direction. And now with the social networking, it can bring everybody together on the same page. And it's just a wonderful tool.
Absolutely. And it does connect people. You're absolutely right. So I'm glad that they can find you at Facebook, too. Okay, we're going to take a really quick commercial break. And then when we come back, we'll see if we have any callers and if there's anything else you'd like to, you know, talk about when we come back, we'll do that. Does that sound great to you?
Sounds good.
All right, so you are listening to WGGM Radio. I'm your host, Amanda Dowell, and we will be right back after this commercial break. So stay tuned, and you're listening to Thomas John.
Our program is being brought to you by ShotNet Web Hosting, reliable web hosting for everyone. Feature rich, reliable, and affordable. Create your own site in minutes with ShotNet's easy-to-use site designer. Monthly plans available that fit any budget. Visit shot-net.com. That's shot-net.com. Cultivate your spirituality with visionary practices of a higher nature in your own home and at your own pace. Empower You Metaphysical Academy, Usui Reiki, Amadeus Shamanic Healing, Karuna Reiki, Celtic Reiki, and many more energy attunements and modalities available. Learn in the privacy of your own home. Attunements and energy activations offered via telephone with downloadable certifications. Very affordable, very accessible, and very interesting. Go to http://empower-u-academy.org. That's empower-u-academy.org.
Let me try.
Okay, just remember what I showed you.
Yep, there was a bunny who had one big ear and another big ear. They looped-a-looped, made a bow, and the bunny hopped away. I did it!
Oh, good job, kiddo. Now let's tie your other shoe.
The smallest moments can have the biggest impact on a child's life. Take time to be a dad today. Learn more at 1-877-4DAD-411 or visit fatherhood.gov.
Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
So I'm a cat, and I just moved in with this new human, and she's got this little toy she's always playing with all day long. Tap, 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 bloop, bloop. She can't put it down. There it is. Oh, and get this. She even talks to it. Last week, she asked it for Chinese. And guess what? Egg rolls showed up. like magic. Humans have cool toys.
A person is the best thing to happen to a shelter pet. Be that person. Adopt. Brought to you by the Ad Council and the ShelterPetProject.org.
We're open for business. The Greater Good Ministries Book and Gift Shop is now open for business, featuring metaphysical and uplifting books from your favorite authors, such as Doreen Virtue, Wayne Dyer, Michael Edward Owens. We've added handcrafted one-of-a-kind jewelry, pendants, earrings, and bracelets, and now have an exclusive selection of crystals, rocks, and stones for your metaphysical toolbox. Take a look at our hand-dug Arkansas crystals, imported Brazilian crystals, Tibetan crystals, and Reiki healing stones. All of our rocks, crystals, and stones have been Reiki infused, blessed, and cleared, ready for use. You can reserve your copy of Crystal Healing 2012 and Beyond, Reverend B's new book, a comprehensive guide of rocks, crystals, and stones for the New Age. Visit ggmradio.com and click Bookshop in the menu bar. That's ggmradio.com.
Feels warmer sleeping here alone. You know I dream in color and do the things I want. You think you got the best of me, think you've had the last laugh, bet you think that everything good is gone. Think you left me broken down, think that I'll come on and back. Baby, you don't know me, cause you're dead. What doesn't kill you makes you stronger. Stand a little taller. Doesn't mean I'm lonely when I'm alone. What doesn't kill you makes you brighter. What that feels lighter. Doesn't mean I'm over, cause you're gone. What doesn't kill you makes you stronger. Stronger. Just leave myself and I. What doesn't kill you makes you stronger.
Featuring metaphysical and uplifting books from your favorite authors, such as Doreen Virtue, Wayne Dyer, Michael Edward Owens. We've added handcrafted one-of-a-kind jewelry,
pendants, earrings, and bracelets, and now have an exclusive selection of crystals, rocks, and stones for your metaphysical toolbox. Take a look at our hand-dug Arkansas crystals, imported Brazilian crystals, Tibetan crystals, and Reiki healing stones. All of our rocks, crystals, and stones have been Reiki infused, blessed, and cleared, ready for use. You can reserve your copy of Crystal Healing 2012 and Beyond, Reverend B's new book, A Comprehensive Guide of Rocks, Crystals, and Stones for the New Age. Visit ggmradio.com and click Bookshop in the menu bar. That's ggmradio.com.
You are listening to Messages of Light with Amanda Dowell on Greater Good Ministries Radio. And now, back to Amanda.
Okay, we are back with Messages of Light. You're listening to Thomas Johnson today, and he is out in Serpent Mound in Ohio, and I'm going to bring him back. Welcome back, Thomas.
Hello.
Hi, welcome back. So what else would you like to share with our listeners today? I'm sure you've got some other things you'd like to talk to them about.
Well, I would like to talk about mostly about Serpent Mound and about what is happening at Serpent Mound most recently. It's been brought to the attention of some of the archaeologists that work in the area that Serpent Mound is much older than they thought it was. And to shed some light on this, they went in last year and did some what they call LIDAR imaging and also some type of ground penetrating radar and scanning. And they found that the actual base of Serpent Mound was a little bit different than the way it's configured today. So they took some core samples, and they came up with a date that's 1,400 years older than it was originally thought, and which puts it somewhere around 400 BC or the late Archaic time, what some people would call Edina.
Mm-hmm.
And so what they discovered was when they first dated this mound in 1990, the samples that they took were from part of the reconfiguration or reconstruction back in the 1800s by the gentleman that was doing the work on it, Putnam, and he was from Harvard. And he had taken dirt from the surrounding area to build it, if you were, because it was washed away in places. And during that reconstruction period, he picked up carbon from a later date, from around 1100 AD, and incorporated it into the mound. So when they did their work in the 90s, dating it, they picked up carbon from that more recent date, and they dated it to late Woodland, or what they call Ford Ancient period. So now they're looking at it again and saying, well, now that it's older, what does it mean? And they're finding that, you know, there's all these alignments with the serpent, with astronomical alignments, especially with the sun marking solstice and equinox. And there's five separate alignments for marking the seasons. And they're very accurate. We've been documenting them as they come up on the 21st or 22nd of every 3 months. And they're very accurate. We're finding that whoever built this didn't go up in the air and use a great deal of mathematics. They actually sat on the ground and pegged the little positions on the horizon as they came about on each seasonal change and then constructed the mound around that. So to actually read it, you just sit on the ground at each position to view the solstice or equinox, sunrise or sunset event, and it still lines up today. So that's an interesting part about Serpent Mound. And a lot of people come here and they don't know that, and we're actually trying to figure out a type of signage that people can understand when they go there to look. It's kind of like Stonehenge in a way. you know, the ancients for following the celestial events and marking them with art on the ground for future generations.
Wow, that's very amazing.
The other point that I was going to bring out was about the crater itself. It affects weather patterns and the magnetic anomalies on the Earth. Usually they'll occur along fault lines. They affect the weather dramatically. And back in about 8 years ago, I started noticing that there would be tornadoes coming through from the west or from the northwest, heading towards our place. We're in an area where we're up against the Appalachian Mountains, and there's a lot of changing weather, constantly different temperatures. And so I noticed that the tornadoes that come through go around us. And I'm watching a weather channel one day, and I'm going like, well, here's this huge storm coming at us. And for some reason, when it gets to this point on the Earth where the crater is, it dissipates or goes in another direction. And so I started canvassing some of the people that live in the area, and they started telling me stories about, well, yeah, you know, it's funny because when it reaches that point, the weather either dissipates or it goes around. And so I started watching the weather channel more and noting where the crater was on the Earth. And lo and behold, the crater holds these abilities to actually protect this area, and Serpent Mound falls within that area. So it's almost as it seems as though whoever built this knew, and probably just by observation, that this was somewhat of a protected area in this part of the country. And it would be a good place to camp out and live, start a civilization. So it's, and it also affects when we take people into the crater, they have to be careful about where they park because it will discharge a battery on a car. Sometimes your cell phone will go dead. When we go across the top of the crater where the asteroid hit, there's a mountain. And if you park on that mountain, you have to be sure to take your car keys with you because sometimes your door locks will lock automatically.
Oh, wow.
When you get out of the car.
That's pretty fascinating.
So, yeah, it affects, and not only does it affects people as well. I haven't really got to that point to go around and canvass people that live in the crater to see, you know, what kind of physiological effects they have in their family, you know, if they're actually living on a faulted area, or how it affects their family or their health. But I know that those effects, they have to have something to do with people as well. And it's a new science, really. Not everybody goes around studying craters and who's living in them and what effects it's having on plant life or people. But it's going to be an interesting study.
That is really something. And the fact that, you know, that energy can do that, that's pretty amazing. Wow.
It is. And it also affects where I live because when I drove by this house where I'm living now, it's on a state road, I stopped and I looked at it. There's a little dairy bar across the street, and I stopped there and I looked at this house, and I never wanted to be a homeowner. And 5 minutes later, I was calling the realtor, and I'm thinking, well, why am I doing this? You know, why am I buying this old house, an old Victorian house? And went ahead and bought it, and this guy that owned it, he come walking across the street. He still has some land here. He's an undertaker. And the first thing he said, first words out of his mouth, have you seen any spoofs yet? And I'm going like, what do you mean spoofs? So I wasn't really familiar with that term until I lived in the house. I'm realizing that my house is full of these fault lines that go in the front door and the back door, built by masons back in the 1800s, and it's all oriented perfect north, south, east, west. And these fields of energy go right through my house, and it's like a window, and there's all kinds of things that happen. And that's why the undertaker asked me if I'd seen any spoofs yet, because 25 years before I bought it, they abandoned the house. They up and left furniture and all and just let it sit there. And I couldn't figure out why. And I guess there must have been something that they didn't understand as far as spooks or spirits. And it's something that goes on it's constantly going on in our house. And they're not mischievous or anything. It's just once you know what they are and you can understand that energy, it's just a matter of figuring out, well, where's all this coming from? And a lot of it has to do with the faulting from the crater. And maybe why I was drawn
to it. Wow.
I'm not sure.
Yeah, and I bet constantly you're always having changes and things that happen with the energy where you are too all the time.
Yeah, and it also it makes you aware of you know, people use the term multiverse. And seeing somebody that you know walk through your room, and you know they're someplace else physically, but yet they're in your house, appearing in three dimensions, and not talking. Understand? What's going on at the same time?
Wow!
And it's happened to me. It's happened to my wife. It's happened to people that come to investigate the house. The paranormal workers, and you know, everybody just walks away scratching their head. But after a while, you soon realize that there's a lot more going on that meets the eye. And if you understand it, it's okay. But you can imagine somebody doesn't understand it, and they see that, and they go, "Oh my God!" You know, there's Aunt Irma. She's supposed to be 100 miles away. She's walking through our house right now. And that's just got to get somebody thinking about, well, what kind of place are we living in? The next thing you know, they're moving out. So that's what happened, and that's how I ended up getting this house.
Yeah. Well, that's pretty unique. That's pretty amazing. I mean, the whole thing is amazing. People should really come there and experience it and, you know, see what you have to share. That's really great. So do you have any other upcoming events you'd like to share before the show ends?
Just the equinox coming up in September the 22nd, and like
okay.
I say on our Facebook group, we always post events at least once a month. We do a sweat lodge, and of course anyone's invited to that. And then at least once a month I'll do workshops in the crater. It just depends if somebody calls for something. If I get enough people together, we'll do a tour. And but as far as universities go, they're coming out constantly, and we're going out into the field. So it's kind of like being a doctor. I'm on call, and people show up and want to do something exciting. We go out in the field and we do it, whether it's fossil collecting or carving or going out in the crater and working or up to Serpent Mound.
Perfect. Okay, well, is there any last thoughts you'd like to leave with our listening audience before we end?
Just stay tuned. I don't know. Did you know Walking Bear, or do you know Walking Bear?
I think I do. I know of Walking Bear. Yes.
Yeah, I just wanted to give you a little example of cooperation on Facebook. About a year ago, he was trying to build a house out in the Yankton Reservation in Wagner, South Dakota. And no one would help him. And I thought, well, here I'm in Ohio. There's no way I'm going to drive out there and help you build it. And then about a month ago, he called me up and he said, I'm getting ready to lose my house. And he says, I'm 1st of June, I've got to have another place to live. And so I went on Facebook and put out a call for help to build this house for this man. And in 3 days, we had assembled enough money and enough people, and we met in Wagner. They came from all over the United States. There was 8 of us all together. And in 5 days, we built that man a house. And he had a little piece of property out there, and it was just a matter of him asking. And and having the means to do it. And Facebook was the vehicle. And it just brought it together in a matter of days. And by June 1st, he had himself a house. And we walked away. And so that's the way it works. And it's something I never dreamed I would do. But yet I was called to do it, and it was fun.
Wonderful. That's great. And, you know, that's such a nice, heartwarming thing that, you know, happened for him. And, you know, look at all the nice things that are going on. Thank you for coming on the show today.
Oh, thanks for having me. Let's try and get Terry on next time.
We sure will. Well, thank you so much for being here, and we'll have you on again. And so
right.
we'll talk again, and thank you again.
All right.
And this is the end of the show. You are listening to WGGM Radio. I'm your host, Amanda Dowell, and we will see you next week, Monday, same time, 11 a.m. Central, on Messages of Light. Thank you for listening, everybody.